This is the homily for the sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2026, at St. Anselm's Abbey. The readings for the day's Mass were the Wisdom of Ben Sirach, chapter 15, verses 15 to 20. The first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 2, verses 6 to 10. And the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 17 to 37. The homilist was Father Ignacio Gonzalez.
Stretch out your hand to wherever you choose. Words from our first reading this morning from the book of Sirach places a choice before us. And what are the choices? He has set before you fire and water. Fire and water, they cannot reign in the same place. One consumes, the other extinguishes. One devours, the other cleanses. One creates ashes, the other sustains life. Which is stronger? When the two meet, water extinguishes fire. A raging blaze can swallow a forest, but with enough living water, even the fiercest flames collapse into steam and ash. And that word, ash, now brings us to this Wednesday. Ashes will mark our foreheads, and we will hear either repent and believe in the gospel, or what I prefer because of what the ashes symbolize, remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. But those ashes are not random dust. They are what remain after last year's palms were burned, residue from when the living branches from last year's Passion Liturgy have passed through flame, and all that was green and outward has been reduced to its simplest, humblest substance. Lent begins there. Not with triumphant flame, but with sobriety, with humility, with the recognition that unchecked interior fire reduces us to ash. Anger burns, resentment burns, pride burns, fear burns. If nothing quenches them, they leave ashes behind. But the Church does not leave us in ashes. The same liturgical season that begins with ashes will culminate 6 weeks later at the Easter Vigil. In the darkness of Holy Saturday night, a new fire is kindled and the Paschal candle lit. And then we walk in procession following the Paschal candle, holding our own newly lit candles through a darkened monastery and into the darkness of this chapel, chanting, Christ our light, thanks be to God. But isn't fire destructive? There is a fire that destroys, and there is a fire that purifies. The Easter fire is not the destructive blaze of ego or rage. It is the fire of Christ's risen life, a fire that does not consume, but illumines, that does not reduce to ash, but drives back darkness. Because the ashes of Wednesday and the fire of Easter belong to the same mystery, the fire of sin must die. The water of mercy must extinguish it. Only then can the true fire, the light of Christ, burn without destroying. Our initial encounter with that mystery happens in Exodus chapter 3, on Mount Horeb, when Moses stands before the burning bush with a fire that reveals rather than destroys. And last Sunday, on another mountain, the hill by the Sea of Galilee that tradition calls the Mount of Beatitudes, we heard the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Today the Lord continues, you have heard it said, but I say to you. Those words are astonishing. Moses said, thus says the Lord. The prophets said, thus says the Lord. But Jesus says, I say to you. And here is where the readings come together. Sirach told us this morning, immense is the wisdom of the Lord. St. Paul told us that we speak God's wisdom, mysterious and hidden, a wisdom the rulers of this age did not recognize. When Jesus says, "But I say to you," that hidden wisdom is no longer abstract. It is no longer wisdom spoken through prophets. Wisdom personified in Christ Jesus stands before us in the flesh. So the same divine voice that spoke from the fire on Horeb now speaks incarnate. And what does he address? Not merely the act of murder, but the anger that precedes it. Not merely adultery, but the lust that ignites it. Not merely false oaths, but the divided heart that manipulates the truth. He goes to action. He goes before and beneath action. He goes to the source. The fire he confronts is not the blaze seen by others. It is the interior fire only we and God can see. He is not loosening the law. He is fulfilling it by extinguishing what destroys us from within. The Pharisees concentrated on visible compliance. Jesus exposes the heart, because it is there that the fire begins. Providentially, we hear this gospel just days before Lent begins. Lent is not cosmetic. It is not about adjusting appearances. Lent is about identifying where the destructive fire of sin and negligence that have built up over time is still burning. Yesterday, in the Oblate Novitiate class, we reflected on St. Benedict's second vow, Conversatio Modum, ongoing conversion of life. That vow reveals that there are still embers within us, chambers of the heart where anger is justified, resentment rehearsed, fear indulged, desire entertained. And the monastic stability and monastic stability does not eliminate the fire. Our vow of stability reveals it. Again, from the book of Sirach, we hear, "Stretch out your hand, fire or water." And what water does the Lord give us? At the cross, blood and water flowed from his pierced side. In the Divine Mercy devotion, we pray, "O blood and water that gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us, I trust in you." So when Jesus says, "But I say to you," these are not words of condemnation. They are words full of merciful water aimed directly at the source of destruction. When the Church teaches clearly about anger, about purity, about truthfulness, about reconciliation, she is not inventing burdens. She is directing the water where the fire is hottest. The trap we fall into, monks and faithful alike, is the same trap that ensnared the Pharisees. We can maintain the externals. We can keep the office. We can attend Mass daily. We can observe discipline. And yet inside, small, controlled fires continue to smolder. Jesus does not want that division. He wants to heal us from what blocks his sanctifying grace. As we prepare for Lent, the question is simple. Where do we need the water flowing from our Lord's pierced heart to extinguish what is blocking his grace? Not someone else's faults, not general weakness, but our own interior blaze. As Sirach in our first reading begins with grounding clarity, "If you choose, you can keep the commandments." The commandments now fulfilled in Christ, the "but I say to you," handed on through the Church he established, are not dry rules. The commandments to love are living water directed at hidden flames. If we choose them, if we allow that water to penetrate the deepest chambers of our hearts and minds, then what remains will not be ashes, but the light of Christ. Amen.